Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Chasing the Sun by Richard Cohen. We've done all so many chapters. It must be like them. This is the afterwards to the first paperback edition, and surely it's going to be the same. The sun, for all our rich imaginings at summer and winter solstice, is never motionless. Nor do we keep still in our attempts to understand our star or conjure up new ways to take it over. Since the book was completed at the beginning of 2010, almost every category of our relations with the sun has been enlivened by new discoveries. The following are from just 4 months, September to December in 2010. It was in September that Spanish woman Angeles Duran went to her notary glacier to register the sun as being her property. The proclamation became a worldwide news. There is an international agreement, she informed the press, that states that no country may claim ownership of a planet or a star. But it says nothing about individuals. She was taking advantage of a loophole. Senator Duran, who is 50, added that she intended to charge a fee for anyone who uses the sun and give half the proceeds to the Spanish government. 40% to a good cause and retained 10% for herself. Her announcement was met with outcry across the internet from people who said that if her claim stood, they would sue her for skin cancers and for damages to the property of solar storms. More practical benefit has been secured by those inmates of the British jails who declare themselves pagan. They are to be given 4 days off prison work a year to celebrate the festivals, including those devoted to the sun. Which certainly puts a perspective on the cartoon I included in page 618. My God. Well, there's going to be page 618. Let's have a look. Here's the cartoon. They're keeping me from practicing my religion. I'm a sun worshipper. Okay. The adherents have tripled in the last 2 years to 366. As the festival of Bethane, which falls on May Day, is said to involve celebrating the suns, with unabashed sexuality and promiscuity, prison governors may have a little apprehensive. Even ancient stories are being reinterpreted. The veracity of Archimedes using mirrors to reflect the sun's rays into the Roman fleet has been questioned by mechanical engineers at the University of Naples, who argue that the Greek astronomer and mathematician is far more likely to have used steam cannons than fiery cannonballs. Several accounts, including one by Leonardo da Vinci, who sketched a steam cannon in the late 15th century, credit the weapon to Archimedes. So this is the most famous of legends about the power of the sun, maybe a chimera, or maybe the cannons operated sun power. I don't know. In December 2010, astronomers at Yale and Harvard reported that the number of stars in the universe had been seriously undercounted, and that it could be 3 times as many as previously thought. This could seriously undermine our estimating of how galaxies formed and grew over eons, and thus affect our knowledge of how the sun came into being. Another story, not immediately solar-based, but dealing with two important figures in sun history, concerns the death of Tycho Brahe. This is where they analyse his eyes, I suppose. He said to die failing to relieve himself while drinking profusely at a banquet and ruining his bladder. That's what I've been told. It was always an unlikely way of passing. And last November, Danish and Czech scientists exhumed the astronomer's remains and advanced the theory that Brahe died from mercury poisoning, thus possibly by human hand. Could his assistant, Franz Kepler, been the culprit? Had he the means, the motives, and the opportunity? They both say that Kepler killed him. That's a common thing. Kepler, who wrote a poem. More central to the sun's influence on Earth is the report in December, New Scientist, that animals, like plants, may be able to turn light into food. Well, what about Euglena? Research assistant at the Harvard Medical School injected photosynthetic bacteria into the eggs of zebrafish, a popular aquarium fish native to the southeastern Himalayas, initially just to see whether the bacteria could survive. As the magazine points out, the ability to turn light into food evolved in cyanobacteria, and plants developed when the more sophisticated cells sold the technology by enslaving the cyanobacteria themselves. Such bacteria and fish do not mix. But 2 weeks after the fish hacked, the bacteria was still alive, raising tantalizing possibilities. And this is really, that's your plant is basically enslaving cyanobacteria. which is, what is it? What are those called? What are those chlorophyll? Chlorophylls. Our idea about time and the sun are being recast too. In remote parts of Australia, Aborigines believe the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. In accordance with the sun dailies across the sky, that's the day after tomorrow will be considered 2 days to the west and 2 days to the east. For those particular tribesmen, the Puranjawanis, time flows from left to right when facing south and from right to left when facing north. They rarely use the term right to left because of absolute directions. Thus, move your cup north and northwest a little. In the United States and Europe, of course, time is generally thought as running from left to right. How we use the sun thus depends on our special knowledge. It's true. Okay, the sun can power wind turbines from unlikely surface sources. In his newly published second volume of autobiography, the actor Michael Caine relates the occasion around 1980 when he and his mother were having tea in Los Angeles with David Hockney and his mother, a native industrial Yorkshire. Caine asked Mrs. Hockney how she likes Beverly Hills. "It's lovely, dear," she replied, "but it's a terrible waste. All that sunshine and no one's got the washing out." Much of the same point was made by Neil McGregor, director of the British Museum, whose BBC radio series book, A History of the World in 100 Objects, became a major hit in Britain's Christmas. The final object in the survey was a portable solar energy panel made in China and sold for £15. "The power of the sun seems a good place to end the global history," said McGregor. "Solar energy is the energy source that has been with us since the world began. Everybody has dreamed of harvesting the sun to have the light and its power available at will. One of the great things about solar power is its independence from the grid. It really is overpowering and may ultimately help us save the planet." The final program ended with the music created by Sheffield University from the vibrations of the sun atmosphere, the noise of a new day. McGregor, you should actually hear, if you listen to ham radio, you can hear solar storms. McGregor's book was published at the same time as Kenneth Richards' autobiography, Life. An unlikely pairing, but there, as a final homage to the sun's ubiquity, the Stones' lead guitarist on its reputation for drug taken. "It's 30 years since I gave up dope. Imagine it like a long shadow. Even when the sun goes down, you can see it. So while I have attempted to keep chasing the sun up to date as possible, I realize that one can never actually catch up. It races ahead." Oh, isn't that beautiful? I'm chasing the sun, but you can't catch up. Beautiful. Thanks a lot for that story, David Cohen. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.